Luke chapter number 22. Luke 22, and then we'll go to Revelation 19. Luke chapter 22. And Revelation 19. I just want to bring a couple of thoughts I've preached on. It's been a long time along these lines, but I just felt impressed to preach on it again. Luke 22 and verse number 14. When the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, with desire, have desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. He took the cup, and he gave thanks, and he said, take this and divide it amongst yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. He took the bread, and he gave thanks, and he brake it, and he gave it unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my body, which is shed for you. Now I want you to look at Revelation chapter 19. In Luke 22, Jesus tells the disciples as they were eating the marriage supper the Lord's Supper, he says, we're not going to do this again until we do it again in the kingdom of God. Now look at Revelation 19. And look at verse number 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was arrayed that she should be granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. I want you to notice verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice, give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, these have gathered. I know it's a little warm in here, but Lord, I pray that you'd help us to listen. Lord, that wouldn't be on our cell phones texting back and forth and carrying on and when the preaching's going on. And very important, Lord, not that I'm saying anything, but Lord, you may be trying to say something to somebody. And Lord, if they're not paying attention, you're going to have trouble talking and speaking because they're not listening. So I pray that you'd help us get all the running in and out done. And Lord, we give you our undivided attention. And Lord, you can do something for us today that we can't do for ourselves. And Lord, we need you. We need you today more now than ever before. I pray that you'd help us now. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. In Luke 22, you find a very familiar story. We read it every time we do the Lord's Supper, with a story of the Lord's Supper. Jesus is in the upper room with his disciples, and ministers the Lord's Supper, and they eat and divided amongst themselves the bread, the unleavened bread, and the fruit of the vine, which is grape juice, and so on and so forth. And they do that, and Jesus makes this statement. He says, we're not going to do this anymore until we do it again in the kingdom of God. And after the Lord's Supper, there was a cross that was involved. And Jesus goes to the cross and he sheds his blood for every boy and girl, every man and woman on the face of the earth. But when we do this again in heaven at the kingdom of God, when the heaven comes down on earth and the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven are all one sitting on this earth, when we do it again there, there will be a crown at the end of this supper. They won't crucify him. There won't be any cross. There will be a crown at the end of that one. And so when we do the Lord's Supper and we think about the Lord's Supper, we think about three things. We take a back look. And he says, this do in remembrance of me. And we look back to the cross, the death, the burial, the resurrection, what it means. Yeah. And then we have a present look. examine yourselves. Examine yourself. Everybody in this room, before we leave this building today, needs to take a good inward look and examine themselves where they are in their relationship between you and God. And then we need to take a forward look. And a forward look is to that which is coming when we sit down with the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. You say, what all is going on here in this marriage supper of the Lamb? Well, let me give you this. Invitations have been sent out. You have to be invited to this wedding. And let me say, everyone is invited to attend. Invitations have been sent out, and you have to respond. This is not a situation where you just go into the Dewdrop Inn or the Bubba's Burgers or whatever, and you just sit down and you don't need a reservation. This is a fancy place we're going to, and you got to have a reservation before you can go. You just can't show up and sit down. You've got to RSVP and get your reservations in order. Thank the Lord, when I was a 10-year-old boy, an invitation came to my house and said, do you want to come? And I said, I sure do. I ain't worthy to go, but I want to come. Lord, would you have me? He said, I sure do. I'll die for you. I've paid your price. It won't cost you anything. All you got to do is come. Let him, the bride, the spirit in the bride, say come. Let him as of the thirst come. Everybody has an invitation sent to them, and you need to respond. How are you gonna what are you gonna show up? The Lamb's got a bride. The Lamb's bride is the church. I'm not talking about the Baptist church. I'm not talking about the Methodist church. I'm not talking about the Church of Christ. I'm not talking about the Roman Catholic church. The church, which is his body, is not a denomination. It's the saved, blood bought, washed people of God that have been saved, washed in the blood through the shed blood of the cross of Calvary. You make up the church, which is his body, the bride, the church of the living God. That's what I'm talking about. Jesus Christ has a bride. But let me say this, the devil has a bride too. If you want to read about the bride that the Satan has, it's found in Revelation 17 and Revelation 18. It's called Mystery Babylon. It's the city that sits on seven hills. I'm not going to tell you much more about that because I don't think you could stand it this morning on a Sunday morning. If I told you who the bride was for Satan, you'll have to come back on a Wednesday night and I'll tell you. They can take it on Wednesday night. Sunday morning crowds, I don't know how much they can take. They're participants. Who are the participants at this wedding? Well, you got God. He's God the Father. You got a Father involved, God the Father, and then you got a bride. That's the church. Not Holy Hills Baptist Church, that's everybody that's been saved from the cross all the way to the rapture, whenever that's going to be. That's saved, bought by the blood from the cross all the way to the rapture. There we go. And then you got people that set out as guests. You say, who are they? Well, let me give you, for instance, Moses, Elijah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. You say, man, them are important, pretty important people. Yeah, but they're going to be guests. They're going to sit out there where y'all sitting. All your Old Testament saints. You say, well, what about John the Baptist? Well, he even said in John chapter 3, he said, I'm just a friend of the bridegroom. I'm an Old Testament saint. I'm going to be sitting out there in the seats watching the church. Hey, you say, preacher, are we living in the best age? You're living in the best age you could possibly live in. Thank the Lord for salvation. The participants. You say, what is this picture? All through the Old Testament, there's a beautiful picture. Adam, the first man, and pictures Jesus Christ. God wanted to give Adam a bride, and so he put him to sleep. He opened up his side and took forth one of his ribs, and he woke up, and he goes, whoa, man. That's in the Bible. He called her woman. That woke some of you up, didn't it? Well, that pictures the Lord Jesus Christ. When he died on the cross, they took a spear and pierced his what? He went to the sleep of death. He woke up 3 days later on Resurrection Sunday, on Easter Sunday morning, and he woke up with a bride at his side, and it's called the Church of the Living God. That's who that is. You say, preacher, are there any other examples? Why, sure. There was a fellow by the name of Isaac. Abraham sent Eleazar, the Holy Spirit, type of the Holy Spirit, into a place to go get Isaac, his son, a bride. And they went, asked Rebekah, said, hey, you want to go with this man? She said, I sure do. What, do you want to go with this man? I'm glad as a 10-year-old boy, I said, yes, I sure do. Amen. And went with him and became a part of the church, the bride of the Church of the Living God. And Isaac got him. Rebekah was a Gentile bride. You think about Joseph. Joseph, the coat of many colors. He rises to second in command under Pharaoh. Guess what? He marries a Gentile bride. Well, then there's a fellow by the name of Boaz in the Old Testament. Boaz is riding down there in his John Deere tractor, and all of a sudden he looks over there, and there's a girl gleaning in the field, and he pulls his tractor over there. He pulls up, says, hey, what's your digits? I want you to put them in my phone right now. I'm calling you tonight. She says, don't you know I'm a Gentile? He says, I don't care what you are. Hallelujah. And Boaz got a Gentile bride out of that thing. I'm going to say this. I'm glad that Jesus Christ looked down and he said, you know what? I'm going to go and get me a bride. And it takes a down payment to do that. And he went to the cross and he died for the sins of the whole world to purchase and pay for every person in this room, every person in the whole wide world. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Why? That he might sanctify and cleanse it, washing the water by the word. That he may present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or a wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. You say, there's the participants. Well, I told you who all the participants are. You say, there's a place. Where's all this going to take place? Well, Jesus Christ said over there in Luke 22, he says, I will not drink the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. It's going to happen over there in heaven, whether it's in the third heaven or whether heaven comes down, sets on this earth, the 1,000-year millennial reign. I don't know. It's just going to happen, and don't worry about it. It's going to be heaven to you. I'm telling you, it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful thing. Now, let me say, some of you men, you get to thinking, well, I mean, I'm a man. I don't want to be a part of the bride. Listen, let me just help you. They always refer to the church as a her. They always refer to America as a what? Her. Ain't got anything to do with, I got news for you. When you get saved in heaven, there's neither male nor female. You become a part of the church, which is a her, and it's going to be espoused and married to Jesus Christ. I want to give you some things and notice some things and thoughts about earthly bridegrooms and their brides, which are not true of the heavenly bride and groom. We say this. Number one, we say this. Beauty is only skin deep. But there's never been a man that thought he married an ugly woman. She may be ugly to everybody else, but he didn't think so. But let me say this, when Jesus Christ looked down, and this is going to help your self-esteem real good. You ready? This is going to help your self-esteem real good. When Jesus Christ looked down, let me help your self-esteem. Ready? He saw a bunch of ugly people. Now, I'm not talking about physically. I'm not talking, y'all, some of you bowed up on that like, oh, I'm pretty. Well, it all depends on who you ask. I mean, you may be pretty here at 11:45 today, but somebody ought to took a picture of you at 5:30 this morning. And when the Lord looked down, now when a man marries a bride down here, I mean, he's marrying a good-looking woman to him. But when Jesus Christ looked down, he said, it's a bunch of ugly people. But he looked beyond my faults and saw my needs. And he came to this world to die for a bunch of ugly people like me. Number two, there's never been a groom that can bestow his beauty on the bride and make her look just like him. But the Bible says, we shall be like him. We shall be changed in a moment and twinkling of an eye. And we shall be beautiful and look just like him. There's never been a marriage down on this earth that's never seen a battle. Some of y'all want to say amen right there? Me and my wife, we don't never fight. We just have loud discussions. But I'm telling you this, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Won't be any trouble there. Most of the time, sometimes, earthly bridegrooms, they'll die and leave their spouse, leave their bride behind. But I can tell you this, that one, we're going to live as long as Jesus Christ lives. Right. And he's going to live forever. Yeah. That's a wonderful thing. Now, let me give you these three things real quick. That's all introduction. You say, what kind of wedding is this? It's going to be a Jewish wedding. Yeah. We're marrying a Jewish man. Jesus Christ was a Jew. We're a Gentile bride, a Gentile church. He's going to marry us, but we're going to a Jew wedding. Those Jewish weddings, the father of the son looks down and he picks the wife out for his son. Aren't you glad we don't do that no more? He looks down and he says, hey, and he goes to the father of the girl and he says, hey, here's the down payment. They could be 10, 11, 12 years old. And he said, we're going to espouse these two together. It's called a betrothal stage. He said, they're going to be espoused. And when they get of age, we're going to let them marry. But here's the down payment, sir. And this right here, we're going to guarantee they fix to get married. Well, I can tell you what happened. Jesus Christ, God the Father, looks down. He looks down at a Gentile church, a Gentile bride. He says, hey, I'm going to put a down payment. Hey, matter of fact, no down payment. We're going to pay the whole thing in full. And he sent his son to die for the sins of the whole world. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit that are God's. For as much as you know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. Amen. Don't get excited. Stay in your seat. But you've been bought with a price. The precious blood of Jesus Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Amen. Mary and Joseph were espoused to one another. They were what we call in the South an engagement. They were engaged. They didn't share the marriage bed. But then there's coming a time when we're going to move into this second stage. And it's the presentation stage. Right now we're in the betrothal stage. We're in the engagement stage. Jesus Christ, God, has put down the full payment. Jesus Christ has shed his blood. And what those Jews did in their wedding, they would make the payment. I want my son to marry your daughter. Here's the payment. We're going to espouse them together. When they get of age, we're going to marry. And in the meantime, my son is going to go back up here and work on a place for them to live. And when the place is finished, then he goes, gets the bride, and brings her to his house. Now stay in your seat. Don't get excited or nothing. I wouldn't either. But the presentation stage. And the time of the wedding, when it gets ready, the father of the groom sends the bridegroom and his friends, and here they have a big parade down through the streets. Him and his friends, and they go down through the streets, and they go and knock on the bride's door. The bride answers the door, and the groom, I mean, he picks her up and carries her to the father's house. Now, we're waiting. We're waiting on what Mark plays up there, and he'll get on that piano, and it gets ready, and the doors swing wide open. Everybody stands and turns, and they're looking, you know. You know what I'm saying? These weddings, and they're looking. That's what's going to happen when the trumpet sounds. It'll be just like playing dump, 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 you know. Everybody's going to stand. They're going to look back. The door's going to open in heaven. The church is going to come up. Be changed in a moment, twinkling of an eye. An ugly church will be made without spot, without blemish. Beautiful, beautiful, robed and clean and white. She comes through that door. I'm telling you, all the Old Testament saints are going to stand and look. Woo! Oh, she looks pretty. We just tell Moses, said, boy, Moses, you should have seen us before he saved us. Hey, let me get over to the Pentecostal side. You should have seen us before he saved us. We were low down, dirty, and rotten, low down scoundrels. But he saved us anyway and changed us and made us brand spanking new. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And I don't say much about this, but I'm going to today. If you got one of them Bibles that says, in my Father's house are many rooms, do me a favor. No, don't do it. I forget it's Sunday morning again. Get you a good one. I got a room down here. I'm not looking for a room. I'm looking for a mansion. Not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You say, where did he go to prepare a place? He went right there to prepare a place for you. And if you'll accept RSVP, if you'll accept the invitation, he'll put you a part of the church, the bride, the church of the living God. You'll march in clean, white, pure, a spotless church without spot, without blemish, and be to him a glorious church and live forever and ever and ever.
Amen.
Reserved seating only. You're going to have reserved seating. You're going to have to call in advance. Let me give you an if you say, I don't have any reservation, let me tell you what you do. We're going to give an invitation here in a minute to come. You say, I don't have an invitation. All right, here's an invitation. You come. You're right down here. You call up there and say, I need to make myself a reservation. You can't make it for your whole family. It's just you and you by yourself. Your family has to make their own reservation. Just you. You call up there, just like you do down his restaurant. You call up there, say, hey, I need to make a reservation for one. That's what I did. That's what Grandma did. That's what you'll have to do. Reserve seating only. And guess what? It's required attire. The attire is going to be provided by Jesus Christ himself. A spotless white robe. I'm telling you, that's good. You can't come dressed in your church membership. You can't come dressed in your baptism. You can wrap your baptism certificate around you, and it ain't going to get you anywhere. You're going to have to be washed in the blood. What can wash away our sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And then we're going to stage three. That's a celebration stage. After every wedding, there's a reception. Hallelujah for some reception. Now, the Jewish weddings, the length of it all depended on the wealth of the bridegroom. So if you were real rich, some of these Jewish weddings would last up to 7 days. They'd party for 7 days. Hallelujah. You remember in John chapter 2 where Jesus turned the water into wine and they ran out of wine? Hey, that was a disgrace. Yeah. Run out of wine. And the party ain't over yet? You run out of wine? Yeah. You know, if you have a celebration, you run out of grape juice 30 minutes into the thing, it's embarrassing. Yeah. Yeah. It'll be embarrassing. But some of the rich folks, well, they'd last that thing 7 days. It all depends on the wealth of the bridegroom. You know how long the reception is going to last with Jesus Christ? 1,000 years. That's a long time. That's a long time to party. Hallelujah. I mean, that's going to be a blessing. The guests at the wedding supper, all the Old Testament saints, tribulation saints, they're going to be there. They're going to be guests. The glory of the wedding supper. I mean, 1,000-year millennial reign with Christ. You say, well, as always, you got to have cater. You got to have cater. People that serve and stuff. Get sweet tea and stuff. And Baby Ruth candy bars and stuff. You know, reception. Can I get you more sweet tea? Can I get you a little more country ham? Hallelujah. Can I get you another biscuit? Can I help you? Again, you need some more gravy to sop that biscuit up. Somebody help me. But at the Jewish, let me read this verse. You had to turn to it. Luke 12:37. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, he shall gird himself and make them sit down to meet, and will come forth and serve them. Jesus Christ will cater his own celebration. He'll come around and serve and gird himself, just like he did washing the disciples' feet. He got up, rise from supper, he girded himself, and he got down and washed and served them. That's what he's going to do for you. Everybody that's saved, he'll do that for you. 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. Hasn't the Lord done enough for us? Hasn't the Lord done enough for us? We ought to get busy and start serving him. Some of you not serving him. Some of you ain't just lagging around, not doing anything, just bebopping in, bebopping out. Hey, he's going to serve us. We need to get to serving him now down here. I close with this. I remember this. My mother used to do it. My grandmother, I remember, some of y'all don't think I've ever worked for a living. But when I was in high school in the summer months, I'd go work in the blacksmith shop down in Tiptonville. My granddad had a blacksmith shop. And I'm telling you, I miss these days. Come about 11 o'clock, the phone would ring down at the shop. It'd be my grandma. And she'd tell my granddaddy, dinner's ready. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. And let me just say something. We're not talking about just warmed up an old stale hamburger, warmed up in the microwave, and a peanut butter and jelly sandwich thrown on a paper plate. Somebody help me. Yeah. I mean, that's good every now and then, but I'm talking about every day. Fried chicken, mashed potatoes, gravy. Hey, we fixing clothes. You fitting to run down to Grecian. Hang on. I'm talking about a chocolate pie with calf slobber about 2 inches deep on it. I'm talking about for 11 o'clock dinner. And she'd call down there and say, y'all come on, it's ready. My mama used to do the same thing. There'd be kids, we'd run around all in the neighborhood, and she'd fling at the screen door open, and she'd say, Jeremy! Back in, boy, she could holler and cover the whole neighborhood. That's back before we had cell phones. You just called it, hey, is Jeremy down there? No, you'd open the back window or the back door and just hollered. Jeremy! Supper's ready. And you'd be playing, you'd do like this. You don't know what I'm talking about? Well, let me get you something a little serious. One of these days, the phone's going to ring. And there's going to be a sound from heaven. And say, Jeremy, hallelujah. Yeah. Supper's ready. That trumpet sound, I'm gonna be, whatever I'm doing. And we going to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Going to be a good day. Now let me say this while Mark's coming. RSVP. Get your reservations in. You just can't just show up and sit down. You're going to have to make some preparations down here to get ready to go meet him up there. The invitations have been sent out. There's an invitation going out this morning. It goes out to everybody. You say, preacher, I'm already... Well, you got an invitation. Invitation to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. You need to make sure you're ready. You need to call up there. You say, do I have to come down there to call? No, you can call down. You can call up there from your seat. It's good to come down here, but if you want to call up there from your seat, you just need to call up there, bow your head, and call up there and say, Lord, I know you saved me. You bought and paid for me with your precious blood. And you're sending me an invitation this morning. You're knocking on my heart's door this morning. Lord, I just want to tell you, I want to accept that invitation. I want you to come in my heart and save me. Wash me. Make me clean and anew. Lord, put me a part of that bride, the church of the living God. Need to make your reservations this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, this day for what you've done for us. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for loving us. Lord, I pray that you'd bless this invitation time. I don't know who's saved, who's not. I don't know who's got reservations, who don't. Lord, I pray that you'd make them ready, make them fit for heaven. In Jesus' name, won't you stand to your feet? Mark's going to begin singing a song that I've asked him to sing. Won't you come and pray while he's singing this song? Won't you come?
You're invited to a wedding that will be held soon. We are the bride.
Christ is the groom.
Christ is the groom.
Won't you come?
With a crown to wear and a long white robe, we'll walk down the aisle made of pure gold. What is your answer?
What's your
answer?
How you gonna reply?
If Daniel can come from a lion's den, if fire can touch those three Hebrew children, if old Lazarus can make it out of the grave, by the way of the saved, what is your answer?
How do you respond?
How will you respond? The groom is asking
the bride to come.
and the supper will be in heaven, our new home above. Here's a wedding invitation he's sending with love. Here's a wedding invitation he's sending.
Wedding.